We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, reincarnation is false and in direct contradiction to the Bible. One cannot believe in reincarnation and believe in the Bible at the same time. Another Old Testament refutation of reincarnation is 2 Samuel 14:14, which it is said, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up again." But if reincarnation is true, the departed life, a physical death, will be gathered up again. It may be gathered up again in many forms or bodies, literally dozens of times. If reincarnation is true, then 2 Samuel 14:14 is false. It is either the Bible or reincarnation. The New Testament is a clear refutation of the reincarnation theory. In our study of the Old Testament, we discovered that the word reincarnation is not even found in the Bible. The word reincarnation does not occur in the Bible anywhere, anything even related to it. There are 27 books of the New Testament, and not one time is there a remote idea of reincarnation in any verse. There are a multitude of scriptures, however, which refute the ridiculous doctrine of reincarnation in its very thorough fashion. My friends, I say to you, Jesus taught the apostles in John 16, 13, 15, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and shall declare unto you the things that are to come." Jesus told the apostles that the Spirit would guide them into all the truth. But the apostles never at any time even suggested anything even remotely akin to reincarnation. Therefore, we logically conclude that the theory of reincarnation has absolutely nothing to do with the truth of God that saves men from sin. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, "Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, for it is completely unto every good work." The advocates of reincarnation claim direct revelation from God for their information. But listen to what the Bible says, and I say, are you listening? "But though we are an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed," the Bible says. Don't forget that, beloved. The Bible declares that the curse of God rests upon those who claim direct revelations of God or another gospel, which the apostle said would be a perverted gospel even though it came from an angel in heaven. Furthermore, the apostle Peter informs us in 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue." This comprehensive verse suggests in crystal clear language that we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But the Scripture does not endorse reincarnation at all. Therefore, the theory of reincarnation is not a part of life or godliness. If it does not belong to life, it belongs to death. If it does not belong to godliness, it belongs to ungodliness. And that is exactly where it belongs, my friend. In Mark 5, the daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead by Jesus. She did not come back as a baby. She did not come back as an old woman ready for the grave. She did not come back in another form or another body. She certainly did not come back as an animal, as a Brahma cow or a rat, as claimed by the reincarnationists in India, as they may claim from time to time. What solace would there have been to this person if the child had been brought back in such a form as that? She came back as a little Hebrew maiden who had just vacated life a few moments before the resurrection and the life arrived at the Galilean home. She came back as the 12-year-old girl. She simply resumed life as the same person she had been, not in another form, but as the individual whom they had known. In Luke 7, we read about the resurrection of the widow's son in Nain. When Jesus raised him from the casket in which his mortal remains were being carried to the silent city of the dead, he did not raise him as an infant ready to begin life all over again. He did not raise him as an old man. Jesus raised him up as a young man, just as he was when death struck him. He raised him up as the son of a grieving widow who was following so sadly his mortal remains to the city of the sleeping dead. When she took him home that day, she took her son. She took her son whom she knew, not another son. It was the same man, young man. She took home somebody she knew and loved, not a reincarnated stranger. She took home a human being that was more precious than silver and gold. She did not take home a rock or a reincarnated animal. In John 11, we have the raising of Lazarus from the grave. The soul had been gone from the body 4 days. The body was already in a state of decay. Lazarus came back as Lazarus. He came back as the firm and fervent friend of Jesus. He came back as the brother of Mary and Martha. He came back as a citizen of Bethany, his hometown. He simply resumed life as he had left it before his sickness and death. He did not come back as an animal. He did not come back as a cow or as a rat. He did not come back as a rock. He did not come back as a stranger to his family and his acquaintances. Lazarus is the first person among the resurrected personalities of the Bible whose name is given by inspiration. When he came back at the beckoning cry of the mighty Messiah, he came back as Lazarus. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible soundly refutes the foolish theory of reincarnation. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. When raised, she did not come back another form as another person. She certainly was not brought back void of humanity as though she were a rock or an animal. She came back as Dorcas. She came back as a beloved seamstress. She came back as a saint of the Most High God. When she came back, she did not need to obey the gospel again. She did not need to be born of water and the Spirit again. She came back as the same woman she was before her serious illness and untimely death. In Acts chapter 20, Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. But he, like all others previously mentioned, came back as the same person he was prior to death. He came back as Eutychus. He came back as the certain young man who fell from the third floor while Paul was preaching a sermon in Troas. The Bible tells of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Luke 24 and John 20. When Jesus came back from the dead, he came back as Jesus the Christ. He did not come back as another person, completely different from the one who had come from the palace of the universe to seek and to save man from his sins. Jesus came back as Jesus. He came back as the Son of Man, as the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? He came back as a resurrected personality, not as a reincarnated being. On the 8th day of his resurrection, he said to the doubtful Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and see my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." John 20, 27, 28. The gospel is not the death, burial, and resurrection of the reincarnation of Jesus. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The gospel of Christ fully supports the doctrine of the resurrection, but the gospel fully and thoroughly refutes the absurd theory of reincarnation. The Apostle Paul certainly did not believe in the theory of reincarnation. The Apostle gave us one of the strongest statements in the Bible that reincarnation is false. He wrote in Hebrews 9:27, "And inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh judgment." Man has but one appointment with death. But if men continue to come back through the process of reincarnation time after time, then they may experience many deaths. Each one of us may have died 100 or more times in previous existence. My friends, do you believe that God's book supports anything this senseless? I do not for a moment. I reject the whole theory of the reincarnation lock, stock, and barrel. I can think of 100 scriptures which thoroughly refute this false doctrine. It is a doctrine that is void of sense, sanity, and scripture. Such is about the only dignified thing that can be said about reincarnation. Paul's many allusions to the other world awaiting his departure from this one solidly and sensibly refutes the false theory of reincarnation. He surely never expected to come back perhaps scores or hundreds of times in other bodies and forms. He knew that this life was a one-time experience. He declared in Philippians 1:21 through 24, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if to live in the flesh, if this shall bring fruit from my work, then what shall I choose I know not. But I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. For it is very far better, yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake." Now, if reincarnation is true, just how could death be a gain to Paul? Instead of his going to be with the Lord in a world of gain and profit, he might have had a number of other pilgrimages before him, as far as this old sinful world is concerned. He might have had before him the coming back in other bodies and other forms and scores of experiences before he entered into the rest that awaited him in the Hadean world of paradise, where all the righteous go to await the coming of the Lord. If reincarnation is so, Philippians 1:21-24 is without meaning. In an expression of hope for the future, he told the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians 5 that to be present in the body means an absence from the Lord. One of the things he longed for was the absence from the body to be present with the Lord. That is why death was so precious to the apostle. Now, death could not be precious for him if he knew that he was going to have to fight the flesh, sin, and Satan all over again and again in many future reincarnations of the future. My friends, Paul would have had nothing but disdain for the whole concept of reincarnation. The theory would have negated much of the future that was for him with Christ in eternity. Again, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6 and 8, "For I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." My friends, what special profit would there have been to his having fought the good fight, having kept the faith, and having finished his course, if he still had many other reincarnated periods ahead of him, with the same battles, the same race, and the same course before him? If reincarnation is so, how could Paul rest with assurance that the future crown of righteousness one day would be his after a successful run upon this earth? He fought bravely, and he finished his course, and he was expecting to be with Christ in eternity, not in some animal or rock or some person back upon the earth. If reincarnation is true, how could any faithful Christian ever die in the warm embrace of hope, knowing all the time that the next time around he might forfeit his right to the crown of righteousness because of unfaithfulness? The truth of the matter is that he could never have any hope in such a miserable theory as this. How could anyone see glory and good coming from such a ridiculous system as the far-fetched theory of reincarnation? Paul truly refuted this ridiculous and absurd theory. He taught in Romans 2 that every man will be judged in accord with the law under which he lived. But what about a man who first lived under the patriarchal law, had a reincarnated experience under the law of Moses, and has had several reincarnated experiences under the Christian age? Will he be judged under the patriarchal, the Mosaic, or the Christian law? Suppose he has been here only twice. Once he was unfaithful to God, the other time he was faithful. Since, according to the Bible, he will be judged according to the deeds done in the body, what will be his eternal destiny? Which life will be judged? His first life demands hell because of his wickedness. His second life points to heaven because of his faithfulness. Just where will such people spend eternity? Does the crystal ball of those who advocate reincarnation have an answer to these questions? There is not one, ladies and gentlemen. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Observe that the apostle said, "Receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad." Now, if reincarnation is true, A person may have had a multitude of bodies and forms in which he experienced life on this earth. But Paul said that each of us would give an account of the deeds done in the body, not plural, but the one body that we possess. If reincarnation is true, that is no way to understand Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that I've just quoted. It is Paul, the inspired apostle of God, versus the false theory of reincarnation. My friends, if you do not know which one told the truth, Paul, or the advocates of the revived reincarnation theory, you are in real spiritual trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? You cannot believe in both the reincarnation and the Bible at the same time. One must go. Only must we stay with the Bible if we expect to spend eternity with God.